This episode is brought to you by BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. Coming up on TMS, Carl speaks.
Twitter is weird.
Pornhub wants your leaves.
Dead or not, he still won.
Sporks are dangerous.
Here, sit in this and like it.
Tom's Tech Time and Recommendals and more. On this episode of The Morning Stream.
For us, now there is a personal car that has exactly what we're looking for. Taurus, now there's an American car with the shape and the feel we've never seen before.
For all of us who demand excellence in design and function, for all of us who will not compromise, Ford listened. Ford created Taurus for us.
For us!
It's sad, really.
The Morning Stream. I think circulation can give me those numbers.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is The Morning Stream for Wednesday, November 7th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian Ibbett.
Hello.
How you feeling there, buddy?
You know what? Actually, I'm feeling a lot better. I don't sound like I feel a lot better, but I feel a lot better.
This is the stage where your body starts flushing it all out. Starts just coming out of you,
pretty
right?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
You don't want to.
I'm just going to wrap myself in a big body condom next time I go to a convention. That's what I'm going to do. Just walk around in a big latex a suit.
That's what you should do on a flight. You should get in like a zip-up like sleeping bag, right? And just sit there like a weirdo in your seat, covered up completely head to toe. And when the drink lady right comes by, you just kind of zip it down and go, no, thank you, and zip it back up.
No, you just have a little sticky note on the front that says, no drinks, please. No drinks, thanks.
Or just insert spicy tomato juice through zipper hole. Thank you.
Right, exactly. Just put it in the straw. Perfect.
Oh, you know what I do like, though? And we did, and because of this, as soon as we got home, we went and bought a bottle of this stuff because I'm weird. But I love little spicy, just not too much, but a little like a spicy tomato juice on ice. I love that. Oh,
yeah, so I do good. Too.
I could like sit and sip spicy on that. I'm like that with the way people are with coffee, where they can just sit for hours and sip it and talk and whatever. Something about right. that for me. So I got that on the plane there and the plane back. And so we got home and Kim says, you liked that, didn't you? And I said, yeah. And she went grocery shopping because we didn't have any groceries when we got home. And she came home with a big bottle of sort of spicy margarita mix, which is just tomato juice with, you know, she was just ready to make margaritas with it.
Sure.
And it was awesome. It's so good. I had a whole icy glass. And you got to have ice. You have to have ice. Don't let it melt too much or else you're gonna water it down.
Oh, water it down. Yeah. No, that's almost where you just want a chilled glass. Yeah. A chilled glass of spicy tomato juice.
I love it. I don't know what the deal is with it. I just love it. And my kids hate it. Nobody else around here wants it but me.
Yeah, no, Tina hates it. She can't do tomato soup either.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm having like a gazpacho tomato soup, kind of.
Kind of. I mean, there's no vegetable. Like, gazpacho is tomato based usually,
yeah,
but then you've got your peppers and your jalapenos and your onions and cilantro in there.
Yeah, we only said Bloody Mary twice, right? We're still safe, we're okay because we only said it twice. We're not gonna,
that's right, yes,
okay,
we've not said Bloody Mary three times.
right so at least individually, because it only works if you each say it. I have to say it three times, right. You have to say it three times.
That's right.
If I say a combination, if I do it twice, you do it once, that doesn't cause bees to come out of your mouth. Or am I thinking of Candyman? I think I am thinking of Candyman.
You're thinking of Candyman or Beetlejuice.
I wonder if Candyman ever got any crap for, like, literally stealing the Bloody Mary idea. I mean, straight up. Like, how do you get Bloody Mary to come out of the window or out of the mirror? You say her name three times.
Right.
Candyman comes along in the 90s and goes, yo, we're just going to take your idea, and if you say it three times, Candyman comes.
I never realized, honestly, that Bloody Mary did have that. Until we watched that episode of Supernatural, I had no idea that was the way you summoned Bloody Mary as well.
Oh, really? Yeah, you did it. Yeah. As a kid, that's all I knew was the Bloody Mary thing. And so it was always in the mirror. You had to do it in the bathroom mirror. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to go in there alone, though. That's dumb. You can go in with friends. Right. That's half the fun, because one of you is going to bang a door or something when you say the third time and scare everybody. That's the point of it. But then along comes Candyman, and they just ripped it off. They're just like, you say Candyman three times, Tony, whatever his name was, that actor, Jake Sisko when he's old. I can't think of his name. That guy is going to come out of the mirror and shoot bees at you with his mouth. And I don't know if they had to pay for that or if that's nobody has the rights to the Bloody Mary idea. Now I've said Bloody Mary enough times to...
Oh, like a bunch of times. But you're not in front of a mirror. You're in front of a webcam, which, as we know, does not reverse your image.
I feel like Newman in Jurassic Park. Bloody Mary! Bloody Mary! Nobody cares. It's like that.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. She's not here. She's not coming out.
Who
Nothing's
can
happening.
Steal an idea? Saying the name three times.
Hey,
The
Candyman can shoots bees out of his mouth. Hey, I got here a letter. Look at this. See?
A letter. Yep. And it's an actual physical letter.
Yep. Got it at the P.O. box. By the way, there is a Frogpants P.O. box now. If anyone wants to send us anything weird or whatever, you can go to frogpants.com/contact and it's listed right there. You're encouraged to use it. In this letter, it's a very proper sort of stationary-ish kind of thing, written in very, almost like a business sentence.
Okay.
From the desk of A. Carl Cornell.
Okay.
I would like to read this now. And
not the Carl Cornell, just A. Carl Cornell. A. Like there's more than one.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. It's A period, so it's always like Albert or Andrew or something. But yes, I like the idea that he's just one of many. This was sent on November 1st, 2018, so just a few days ago. I guess that would have been 6 days ago.
Get to the letter.
Says this, Dear Mr. Johnson, and it has my whole info here, Scott Johnson of the Morning Stream, Frogpants LLC. It's got everything.
Is there a date? Is it properly formatted with the date up in the top right?
Yep, it says November 1st, 2018 right there.
Very good. Okay, very good.
It then says, here's the letter. Dear Mr. Johnson, I write to you on this fine autumnal day, meaning autumn. I can't say that word very well. Mm-hmm. To inquire into your health and well-being. I am concerned because I have not seen any TMS episodes for Wednesday or Thursday. It might even be that there will be no PM episode on Friday. I hope all is well and that everything is okay. Warmest regards, and then a signature. P.S. I hope you're staying hydrated. So this is the most formal request I've ever seen for why isn't there an episode on the feed today. It's amazing.
Oh, it's totally, and it's totally
he's yanking our chain for sure.
He's absolutely yanking our chain. I love that. You know, not just a Twitter, how come no show?
How like, come no show? What actual, happened to show?
Actual written letter from the desk of love it.
It's pretty great. His name may as well have had an Esquire at the end, the way he wrote that thing. But very impressed. Thank you for that. That was awesome. Now.
That was awesome.
I'm going to share with you one additional piece of information that is a little bothersome to me. We have a resolution to the Twitter controversy yesterday where somebody threatened me. We talked about, actual life threatening yesterday.
Yes.
Didn't we?
Right.
We did. Didn't we talk about it?
Oh, yeah, we did. We talked about your death threat. Yeah.
All right, good. Sure. I'm glad that we did. And the reason that this is important, in fact, I'm gonna set this up properly here. Let's put this right here. Okay. I'm going to give this the proper mood it deserves. All right. I received this email. My dearest Martha. Not really. Here's what I got. I'm going to read the tweets that I originally got, word for word, and then I'm going to tell you what Twitter's response was. Okay?
Okay. All right.
So if this doesn't tell you what Twitter's all about, I'd be shocked. Let me clear my throat. All right. Here we go. At Scott Johnson is who it's to me. So it's to me. By the way, this person's name was listed as Scott John Stun with a T.
Right, with a T. Sure.
Mm-hmm. He says, and I'm not going to say the words exactly because...
Yeah, because there's a few unsavory. You don't want to work blue, Scott, is the whole point.
No, this is a show where some kids could be listening. He says this, and you can guess which words I'm shortening. F-tard. You really are a clueless effing tool bag, aren't you? This is his first tweet.
Yeah.
I am ashamed your mama named you what she did. You need to stop making me look bad. Despite the fact that our last name is not the same.
Right.
Take yo shill ass off this effing planet. Okay, that's number one.
I don't know what the shill ass.
I don't know either. This came out of nowhere. I can only assume it's because somebody somewhere has this burner account that knows that I'm disappointed in Diablo Eternal, but we'll still or Immortal, but we'll still play it. I think that's what this is. Sure.
Okay, all right.
I could be wrong, but anyway, because it came out of nowhere and they never explained themselves. Their follow up tweet was, "Ftard, let me splain something to your bitch ass. You want someone to fall on you like an effing wall of burning sulfur? You keep opening your D sucker. I see you better be ready to catch. Oh, I see you. You better be ready to catch a cap in yo ass. You feel me, sweetheart?" And close quote. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
So this is what I got from them. I
do like how he opens every tweet with "Ftard."
Yeah, "Ftard" is great. It shows a real. A real lack of compassion for the mentally handicapped and the poor right, use exactly. of the word, the F word. So anyway, I reported it. I put it on, I retweeted it so everybody could see it. They all reported it. Mm-hmm. This is the response I get back from Twitter. Okay, here's the part where things start to get in trouble. So let's just... All right, that sets us up for it. Here you go.
Oh, nice. Jeez.
From well Twitter. Timed.
Says, violin guy.
Yeah.
Fiddle man.
Says, "Hello. Thank you for your recent report. We have reviewed your report carefully and found that there was no violation of the Twitter rules against abusive behavior." Close quote.
What?
Yeah. Now, I'm going to just say, I find that to be ridiculous. And I don't, if that's not abusive behavior, I'm not sure what is defined as abusive behavior. So my thinking was... whatever, Twitter, you kind of blow at this. You're bad at this. I'm just not going to worry about it. Put it behind me. The guy had since...
If I see you, be ready to catch a cap in your ass.
Yeah.
Feels like a, I don't know, a way of saying, I will shoot you if I see you.
Yeah, if I see you, I shall shoot you with my gun, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
So that was my take as well. I just said whatever. The guy blocked me and deleted the tweet. It was clear to him probably that the heat was on. Because everybody was adding him and freaking him out. And I thought, well, there's one more scrub I don't have to deal with. Let's jump ahead a day. And now my Twitter feed is filled with screen captures of people who got replies from Twitter about them reporting the account. Okay. And they say, "Thank you for your recent report. We have reviewed your report carefully and found that there was a complete violation of our Twitter rules against abusive behavior." So now Twitter's saying to everyone but me, the person targeted, that it is abusive and that actions are being taken. And some are saying his account is gone now, although I see it cached in some places, so maybe not. So they may have actually done it and gotten rid of it.
Sure.
I don't understand how it works. Here's my best prediction of what happened. They have bots that do this automatically, and it couldn't understand things like, "You better be ready to catch a cap in your ass. You feel me, sweetheart?" Like, to them, that's not language that the robot gets.
If you please format your death threat in proper English so that our Twitter bots can recognize it as
it's all we ask. Violation. Is that so hard to ask? It's not hard to ask just that. That's all we want.
Yes.
Please format your tweets.
Please use proper grammar in your death threat.
You know, but you got to give him points for creativity. He says, "You want someone to fall on you like an effing wall of burning sulfur." Wow.
Yeah. What? Wow. Burning a wall of. I've never seen a wall of sulfur.
Yeah. I don't know either what's going on there. But it's crazy.
I bet it smells horrible, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a big egg fart, dude. That's what that smells like.
Right. Exactly.
Maybe that's what he meant. But anyway, I want to thank that guy for a week's worth of entertainment in only a couple of days.
That's right.
You're a fantastic human being, and may you rest in peace.
Yeah.
All right, that was a lovely, lovely time we just spent together.
Totally.
All right, so anyways.
Now let's ruin it with a call from Dunaway.
Let's ruin this whole thing.
All this fun and jocularity.
Tell you. I know you were sick yesterday, and you said 70% or something, but I got to tell you, I had so much fun on yesterday's show, and I don't know why. I think I was a little delirious, so who knows if I was in my right mind.
No, I was jacked up on cold medicine. I think, that maybe I'll just take it on the regular, even when I'm feeling fine.
I like it. Can you be drugged? Can you be drugged every time we record? Is that
all
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Drink NyQuil every day.
I like that feeling a lot. All right, Dunaway is being called. Will he answer is really the great question.
Ooh, maybe we should ask a listener to predict. Will Dunaway answer?
Yeah, will Dunaway answer? You, too, can be the judge. Dunaway, you there?
Will he
oh,
do it?
Oh, look at this. I hear him.
He done dude it.
Hey, everybody, it's Babel Royale with the Brian Dunaway, all the way from South Carolina. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. How are you guys?
Very good.
Good.
Nice to have you here. Very good to hear you. Have you. You were here Monday, but, you know, we're doing it again.
Yeah.
And people at home, you'll want to call this number, 801-471-0462. That's how you can participate in today's contest of wills and smarts and brains and wits.
Can I say I'm not comfortable with people saying we have you or I have you.
You don't like the we have you?
Really?
Okay.
We have you.
All right.
Feels weird.
We have you, Brian, and there's nothing you can do about it.
We have you.
We also have a caller who is on the line right now. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
It's Ian for the first time in a while.
Oh my gosh, Ian, I am sci-fi. What is going on, brother?
Not too much. I heard the word F-tard enough and figured I needed to dial in.
I'm glad.
That was your bat signal, huh? It was that.
he hears that and they're like, they're talking my language. I got to get on the phone. Well, it's good to have you here. We're happy to play with you as always. And Brian Ibbett here will explain how this will work. Brian, take it away.
That's right, Ian. I'll give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic and they'll go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, I'm not going to do the whole thing in Don Pardo voice.
Oh.
All right. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win will go to the other player. Your job is to predict who is going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for another T-Pack from the Phoenix Pearl Tea Company. Oh, I'm getting it wrong. What is it? Is it Phoenix Pearl Tea?
Phoenix Pearl Tea, yes, correct.
Uh-oh, and we're getting some crackly buzz, too.
Uh-oh. Really?
Uh-oh. Yes.
Oh, that's my favorite morning cereal.
Is it happening now for me? Is it happening for me?
Honey and bunches of crackle.
I thought I'd fix this. Are you hearing it from me again?
Yes, hearing it from you.
Oh, that's nice.
Hearing it when you speak.
I don't like that. Here, hold on.
All right, Ian, are you in the chat room?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, stay there.
I will have you let me know in the chat room what who you want to win and who you want to go first.
That's a good idea. All right, I've already closed that. I should sound better now.
Yes.
Do I?
Much, much better.
Okay, it went away. All right, sorry, Ian. We'll do it remotely. I don't know why that's coming back again. Gosh dang it, I thought I fixed it. Okay, sorry. Continue on, Don Pardo. What were you doing?
Today you're playing for a tea pack from the Phoenix Pearl Tea Company in Montana. They're awesome. I finished my first pack of their samples. Like, we've been slowly going through all, not slowly, we've been going through all of them. And I emptied out the cinnamon orange rooibos tea last night because that is so good.
Yeah, it sounds good. I don't think I've had that one. Have I had that one? I might have had that one. I don't remember.
Oh, you definitely had that one. By the way, this just in.
Yeah.
iTunes just finished loading after 1 hour of checking my iTunes library.
Here's what it means. Now, everybody's going to want to just easily jump on the bandwagon and go, ah, iTunes sucks. Here's another proof that iTunes sucks. I think this is just proof that Brian has the largest music library of any person on the planet Earth.
That's true.
I think both are true. Both are true.
Both can be true. Yeah.
I have 111,000 songs in my iTunes library. I've crossed the limit of where iTunes will actually put stuff in my online library. Yeah. So when I'm running around and I want to listen to something from my library, I can't anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. iTunes is not allowed near my music library.
Oh,
it's like, where's your music at? It ain't where I'm keeping it.
It's not here. Oh, speaking of which, hold on. I got to do it. Okay, go ahead, Brian. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, so the topic today, and then I'll turn to Ian to find out who he chooses. The topic today, again, comes from TMS Mashups. Jamie, this dude is awesome. He is coming up with some great Babel Royale topics. He also does the great mashups. I mean, the guy is the raddest secondary character of TMS.
Yeah, he's doing great. He is prolific, as they would say.
He is prolific.
Yeah.
The song Ironic by Alanis Morissette is a song that we all love to mock for being less ironic and more moronic with its stupid lyrics. She lists off 7 things that are not ironic, but she thinks are ironic. They're dramatic irony is what somebody wants to define them as.
Okay.
I want you guys to identify the seven examples of irony that Alanis Morissette claims are in the song Ironic.
All right, I can do that. Hey, I Am Sci-Fi, already tell us who you think is going to win this. Like, now, I bet he's already thinking. Because,
yes, thinking.
Yeah, I remember a few of these, but I don't know how I'm feeling.
And then as soon as you're done with that, Dunaway wins, Scott go first. Oh, he's so on top of
it. Oh, look at that.
Both questions.
That's fantastic.
Both questions I was going to ask.
Yeah, well
done.
So
he thinks Dunaway is going to win.
He does.
And Scott go first.
Yeah.
Scott goes first. All right. So.
It's like rain. On your wedding day. Rain on your wedding day.
That's exactly right. Rain on your wedding day is one of the examples of irony.
Yeah, and this is from the bitterest.
Because, you know, rain and weddings share such a storied past.
It's the song, the album's that bitter, the most bitterest of pills, right? That's the name of the album?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Jagged Little Pills.
Oh, got it. All right, got it.
All right, Brian.
Yeah.
It could be jagged and bitter, I suppose. Sure, it could be both.
Sure.
Well, you know, if it's like rain on your wedding day, then it's sure enough like a free ride when you've already paid for that thing.
That's right. It's like, taking an Uber,
right,
paying for it, and then realizing you had an Uber coupon code that you could have used.
That could have been free, stupid.
Yeah.
All right, Scott.
Oh, gosh, wait. That threw me off for some reason. Hold on. Oh, my gosh, I can't even hear it. Hold on.
Oh, what's love got to do? Got to do with it?
No, don't do that! Don't do that!
Baby, don't hurt me!
Gosh,
don't
hurt me!
This is really jacking up, man. Oh, shit.
I want you to know.
I can't think of anything but what's love got to do with it now.
Happy for you.
Oh, no! All right. Oh my gosh, I can't think of anything. It's going out when you've already been laid.
Wow. Nice.
That's a good one. I like that. That's
if only there were room in the song for that one.
Right.
No, and that is a win for Brian Dunaway and a win for Ian. I Am Sci-Fi.
Damn it. Ian.
Here's your list.
Yeah, give me the list. This is going to piss me off so bad. Get rubble.
It's, when you win the lottery and die the next day.
Ah!
Yeah, that's a bummer.
It's a black fly in your Chardonnay.
Ah, gosh dang it, the Chardonnay!
It's a death row pardon 2 minutes too late.
Oh, I forgot. I wouldn't have gotten it.
I forgot. I didn't remember that one.
The good advice that you just didn't take.
Ah!
Yes, yes.
And then any form of the dude who was like Mr. Play It Safe, but he was scared to fly, and he got on a plane, and then the plane crashed.
Right.
Yeah.
Because irony is being afraid to fly, and then your plane crashes.
Oh, Lord.
The one I never understood was the no smoking sign on your cigarette break. I'm like,
oh, that is one, isn't it? Why isn't
couldn't
that?
Couldn't you just like find another place?
Wait a minute. No smoking sign on your cigarette break? I don't think that is one.
Don't
I don't
so?
See that in the lyrics.
I'm pretty sure that was in there because in I there? Remember thinking how dumb. That was like the thing that I was like, wait.
Well, how come she's never done any of them? Sorry. How come she didn't do any that were actually ironic? Like, what happened to that song? Isn't there some conspiracy that she knows this and the irony is that she knows this or something like that?
People are saying that one is. That's funny that.
Yeah. Well, maybe you didn't hear the. Maybe you didn't hear the Canadian version. Maybe you heard.
I think explaining or coming up with irony, it takes a lot longer than one verse can handle it.
Maybe what the answer should have been is there is no ironic statements in this song. Maybe that should have been. Maybe that's why you're having trouble finding it.
Yeah, there are a bunch of these. So Jamie listed off six or seven: a traffic jam when you're already late, a no smoking sign on your cigarette break. 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife.
Ooh,
it's
I'm
meeting
glad.
The man of your dreams and then meeting his beautiful wife. I remember all those. And why isn't it Jamie? TMS mashups. Where are you?
Jeez, buddy. Mm.
You know, he didn't click the little when he copied and pasted. He didn't click the little Google expander button the ironic lyrics.
You sure he didn't put just and more down at the bottom?
No, it like cuts off. Life has a funny way of sneaking up on you, dot, dot, dot. And it's like it didn't make sense. So there were like 10 or 12 deals.
I wouldn't have remembered any more of those. So
Loki Roberts says she did know it and it was done on purpose, which is exactly what I would say if I released a song like that and people called me out for it not being ironic.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah. Isn't it ironic when Alanis Morissette makes a song?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But isn't that, back to my point, isn't that the conspiracy that she knew they were all actually not ironic and that was the irony of the song?
No, I think that she just didn't understand irony when she was writing that song.
Yeah, she was super young. It's still a good song. I mean,
sure.
Maybe she wrote it while she was choking on a jagged pill.
So if it's not irony, then what is it?
It's coincidence. It's coincidence.
I wouldn't even say it's coincidence because, you know, like rain on your wedding day is the opposite of your expectation.
It's kind of a bummer. Yeah, it's a bummer.
Isn't it a bummer? Right.
Yeah.
Like a fly in your Chardonnay. It's like, yeah, if Chardonnay was made from flies, then it would be ironic that there would be a fly.
You know what?
This song
should have been called Things That Make You Go Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a way better one. Things That Make You Go Hmm. Things That Make You Go Hmm. I remember that song.
Maybe it was already taken.
Probably.
Here we go. All right. Zalex explains it perfectly. This comes from George Carlin. If a diabetic on his way to buy insulin is killed by a runaway truck, he is the victim of an accident. If the truck was delivering sugar, he is the victim of an oddly poetic coincidence. But if the truck was delivering insulin, then he's the victim of irony.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's a
good explanation.
Well done.
Good.
That's fantastic explanation right there.
That's the best I've ever heard.
And it should be a new lyric to the song. A diabetic on his way to the store ran out of insulin and was going to buy some more. As he crossed that street, the truck killed his ass. And the truck pulled over and was delivering insulin to Walgreens. Isn't it ironic?
I was hoping you said ass so you could rhyme ass somewhere. But
I know.
You didn't
I
do
know.
It.
I was trying to come up with a word that I thought I could rhyme better and I just couldn't.
Yeah. It's like Justin's, hey, everybody, have you heard the news? I'm rapping Hitler and I hate to rhyme.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, we've done it. Well done. Good job, I Am Sci-Fi. Just send me an email, scott@frogpants.com. I will hook you up with this. I'll teabag you. How about that? You want to get teabagged? I'm going to teabag you. And I'll give you some extra stuff, too. I'll throw in some rad prizes along with that Phoenix Pearl Tea. Yeah, which is pretty great. And big, huge thanks to her and her tea shop. Once again, for supplying those for us. Brian Dunaway, is there anything you want to say? We got a film sack this weekend. I don't know what we're doing, though. What is it? I don't even know.
We're going to be watching. Can you remember? No, wait. I do remember. Wait, is it Young Guns?
It is Young Guns. Yeah.
Oh,
we're watching Young Guns.
The original?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that ironic? Those old guys talking about Young Guns?
My memory of that movie, here's my whole memory of Young Guns. My whole memory is that that Bon Jovi plays music, and at some point Charlie Sheen gets shot in a toilet or in an outhouse.
I was pretty sure he was going to get it mixed up with something in Tombstone. That's too bad.
I think you're thinking of Game of Thrones.
Maybe. I have this memory of Charlie Sheen getting shot in a toilet, and there's also an Unforgiven scene where this happens to somebody.
Yeah, there is. It does happen in Unforgiven. I do remember that.
Yeah, and those are good movies.
Yeah, good.
Young Guns is kind of a cartoon.
Dead or alive.
Makes one
regulators
play.
Mount up.
Oh my hell, the regulators. All right. Well, on that note, I'm hanging up on Brian.
All
right.
So bad.
Well, we're gonna watch it, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. But for now, it's time for this.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
Hey, 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 it's the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville. Yes, there will be a Coverville this week, but it probably won't be today. Been sick, haven't had a chance to put anything together, although I do have a start of a show. It is going to be in honor of... Joni Mitchell's birthday, and just, you know, so you're saying, oh, Joni Mitchell, come on.
Yeah, she's all right.
Think of this.
Yeah.
Like, I get a lot of awesome rock bands who do Joni Mitchell covers. Nazareth did a Joni Mitchell cover, for Pete's sake.
What?
Richard Thompson does a cool Joni Mitchell cover. So put your little folk music hating, knit hat wearing attitude away.
That's right. F-tard.
I was going to quote from the tweets exactly. Yeah. Decide I better not.
Maybe not. Anyway. Yeah. Just so everyone knows, that stuff sometimes comes up on the show later in the show, either the same day or months later, and it'll be a reference to a thing we said earlier. That's one of those that may come up, and if it does, just be easy on us. We're not saying...
Okay, I'm not going to use that. I don't like that. I hate that term.
Me neither. But I don't like it. Yeah.
But anyway, Coverville coming up later this week. Stick around for that as soon as my voice doesn't sound like I'm snorting maple syrup.
Oh, that's good. You shouldn't do that. Even the Canadian, even a Canadian would tell you that.
Well, the Canadian maple syrup, I think, is okay. Mm. But snorting Mrs. Butterworth's is just not what a person should do.
I just tapped a tree in...
just tapped Mrs. Butterworth.
I tapped Mrs. Butterworth. In Stardew Valley on my phone, I tapped a tree to get its sweet syrup out of there. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can sell that now.
It's not how it works. It's not like you can just stick a faucet into the side of a tree and then put your plate full of pancakes right under it. It's you're going to get sap, and you got to boil 40 gallons of that sap down to get 1 gallon of maple syrup.
Yeah. Now, look, video games, man. What are you going to do?
That's right. Exactly. Let's try and have a little realism in my Stardew Valley, please. Okay. Thank you very much.
I'll work on that. Also, I ate raw sap in the game, and it made me sick, and I had to go to bed in the game.
Ah, there we go. That probably is accurate.
Yeah. Don't eat sap by itself. It'll plug you up. Pornhub, speaking of plugging you up.
Oh, man.
Pornhub is offering Duchess residents. This is in California. New York. Yeah, Poughkeepsie, New York.
Yes, upstate New York.
Residents of that area, free leaf removal. Now, this isn't the first time they've done a little civic duty. They did the snow removal last year. Remember that?
Right.
That was a thing.
I do remember that.
They're doing it now for autumn. They're an international pornography company. And they're launching a free leaf removal promotion. And of all places, it has chosen Dutchess County as the area to debut the service. The adult video website is teaming up with Poughkeepsie-based Dutchess Lawns for a 3-day promotion in which Dutchess residents and businesses can receive free leaf removal. The request will be satisfied. Oh, nice. I see what you did there, article. Wednesday through Friday this week on a first-come, first-served basis. I feel like they're messing with us.
A little close there, yeah. If that's intentional, it's a nice subtle one.
I guess so. Yeah.
So with the snow removal,
they did it
and it was like the double entendre was something about let us dump a full load of snow on or throw let me let us dump our full load of snow somewhere else or something like that. I mean, there was like a
same kind of deal. It had some connotation.
And then the pandas thing that they did was also had a double entendre.
Right.
I don't know what leaf removal, you know, like if it's let us come over and trim your bush would be would make sense, right? Like,
you're right.
Are they blowing? Oh, are they blowing your leaves?
Oh, I don't know
if they're blowing your leaves.
Oh, well, yeah. If they're blowing
but
leaves.
If they're raking your leaves, then that doesn't make sense. I mean, leaf removal.
I don't know. You ever get your leaves raked? Hubba, hubba. let's see here. Pornhub wants to launch the promotion in upstate New York because it has a reputation for fall foliage. And they chose the city at random, they say, according to the company. It hopes to follow similar, do the process in a similar way in expanding its leaf blowing service. Oh, it is blowing.
Oh, they're leaf blowing. There we go. Okay.
They don't have it planned that yet. Let's see. A representative for the company reached out to him several months ago. At first, he said he was hesitant, given the nature of the company. Then I realized they were providing a free service for people up here. I thought it was a good idea. He said, anytime we can give back, we try to do it. So once again, Pornhub reaching out to the community and giving them what they want.
That's right. That is nice. I mean, I like the fact that they're doing their civic duty. You wouldn't see Brazzers doing this sort of thing.
Well, you might,
or
but things
bang,
are...
Bang bus.
They might, but there are things happening in the bus while they're doing it. And that's...
Right, exactly. And by the way, that does pretty much expend all my porn company knowledge.
Yeah, I don't have any more. I never even heard of that Brazzers till you told me. That was a new one.
Only because of the memes. Only because it would be like, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, a photo of the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and then at the bottom right corner would say, Brazzers.
Right. And now I love it and get it. But I didn't know who they were before, so it makes sense to me. Also, I always thought it was pronounced Braziers, or like what are you...
like Dairy Queen Braziers?
No, not like that. Like a little fire you'd make in a middle... or like a fantasy kingdom, you'd have like a light the braziers.
Oh, okay.
The chickens are
those
coming.
Those are pronounced braziers, Scott. That's how those are pronounced.
I don't even think I'm doing it right. But braziers is fine. I'll do braziers. Anyway, hey, here's another fun story for you. It's also in the porn area.
Mm-hmm.
A dead brothel owner. We've all seen this guy. He's the happy chicken ranch guy, whatever his thing is.
sure.
Or bunny ranch, sorry.
Bunny ranch. Yeah.
The dead brothel owner, which we talked about in a previous story when he died, was currently running for a legislative seat for Nevada, and he won posthumously.
Mm.
He dead, but he can't. You know, he can't serve, but he won.
Can't serve, but he won. Huh.
Yeah, in the election yesterday, a Nevada brothel owner and reality TV star died last month after fashioning himself as a Donald Trump-style Republican candidate has won a heavily GOP state legislative district. Dennis Hoff defeated Democratic educator Leslie Romanoff, on Tuesday in the races for the Nevada's 36th Assembly District, which includes rural communities and large stretches of desert in the southern part of the state. County officials will appoint a Republican to take his place in the seat. Hoff was found dead October 16th after a week of parties celebrating his 72nd birthday. Officials are still determining his cause of death, but they don't suspect foul play. It depends on your how you define foul.
I think there was plenty of foul. There was plenty of things that were foul going on there.
Yeah.
But maybe
not murder, maybe not, you know, a conspiracy to murder or any of that, but there was some foul play happening.
Right. Man, I feel so bad for Lucia Romanoff to lose to a dead brothel owner. We would rather have a dead brothel owner than you in that seat.
There was something in this article, and I didn't get to it. Let me see if it's still in this one or if I saw it somewhere else. But Ron Jeremy found him, according to this. He found his body.
Oh, found his body?
Yeah, let's see. I'm trying to find it.
I was
going
to make a divining rod joke there, but I'm not going to.
Hold on. Let's see. Ron. Yeah, here it is. He was found dead at his Love Ranch brothel about an hour outside of Vegas. His body was discovered by porn actor Ron Jeremy and a prostitute at the brothel. Wow, that's classy, dude.
Sounds like the setup of a joke.
Yeah, it does.
Ron Jeremy and a prostitute walk into a bar.
What a weird thing. Yeah, someone in the chat says, how is Ron Jeremy still alive? That's a great question. I ask it every day.
That is a great question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs to play Mario in the Mario movie. I think that needs to happen.
Ugh, the skeeziest Mario ever.
Jack Medpot says, he died of shock seeing that Ron Jeremy is still living. Maybe. Could be.
That's probably more like it, yes.
So I was wondering, and they answered it here, so now we know, but when that sort of thing happens, I guess they just take somebody in the party or somebody in the whatever just appoints another Republican, right? Or if it was a Democrat, they'd appoint a Democrat.
They'd
appoint
another Democrat. Yeah, exactly. Hmm. So I guess the understudy.
yeah, his. What's ironic? It'll probably be just some normal guy. Like by that I mean someone who doesn't own a brothel and doesn't, have legal prostitution happening under his nose every day, and isn't committing foul play every night. Probably just some normal guy, some rancher guy. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, I guess I'll step in since Porny Dennis over there kicked the bucket.
Exactly.
All right, well.
Yeah, I've already given you a link to my favorite Bunny Ranch-related video on YouTube, and it was, what was her name? It was Air Force Amy.
Yeah.
Was on trial on one of those TV judge shows. It wasn't Judge Judy, but it was something like that. And she was talking about how, she was talking about her past and saying, well, I'm a, well-decorated military personnel. I served this country for so many years, da-da-da-da-da. And the judge says, man, how do you get from the Air Force to the Bunny Ranch? And she says, well, you could take I-15 South.
Really?
Yes. It is one of the best video clips ever. I think we played it on the show like a long time ago. But
I remember it vaguely, It's been a while.
Easily one of my favorites.
Pretty great. I didn't realize she did one of those. Now that you reminded me, I now have a vague memory of it.
Air Force, do a search for Air Force Amy on YouTube, and my guess is the top clip you find is going to be that judge clip.
DJ Stangle asks, why wouldn't just the other person who ran win? I don't know how that works. I guess it would be a
party change, and you kind of have to keep it on the same side of the party.
I guess. I wonder why though. Like, the only person to get any votes is the person who didn't win. So why wouldn't you give it to the person who's alive who also got vote? I don't know. Because nobody elected the guy they're going to sneak in there. He just,
maybe that also prevents foul play. Yeah. Like if I know how I can win this election, yeah. I'll kill the other person.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
I that's an interesting point. Once you're on the ballot, you're on there, dead or alive. Yeah, I don't. That's a part of politics or about voting I've never understood, or I've never really looked into. Now we're all thinking about it, so maybe we'll figure
totally
it out.
Totally true. Maybe we need to figure out a better way.
Well, here's the worst way to do anything. Delta passenger, and I'm a big fan of Delta. I always enjoy my flights with Delta. They take good care of us. I feel
yeah,
Delta
they love
last
to fly,
week.
And it shows.
It does. They do a fine job. Never had a bad experience with Delta. Well, someone else did, and it's a doozy. A Delta passenger was forced to sit in a seat covered with feces or miss the flight.
Hold on, I'm still deciding.
Yeah. I can't decide. You know what I would have decided?
I know exactly what you would have decided.
I'm doing it. Give me my money back is what I would do.
I feel like this is even, we've talked about your dreads, you know, your airplane dreads, your fears.
Yeah.
And middle seat between a couple of bigger guys, you're kind of in this squinched up position the whole time, and you have to go to the bathroom halfway through the flight, I think was your biggest airline fear until this headline.
I was going to say, Brian, I got a new one. You want to know what it is? It's this. Yeah.
At least you're given a choice.
Yeah, exactly. Finally, I have a choice. By the way, my flight back home was in the very last seat of the plane, and I've never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
doesn't recline.
Not at all. Like
back by the bathroom. Were you at least in an aisle seat?
No, I had window. It was a two laner, so Kim had aisle. I had window, and it was perfect. Fine. It was just really like loud because you're kind of back there by the rear engine stuff and all that.
Yeah.
But it's fine. And the bathroom was right there, so you know, we had people walking by all the time and wafting their stink at me. But whatever. Still haven't used a bathroom on an airplane my whole life.
Ever?
Nope, not once. Not even on my flight to China or Japan, which was like 14 hours. Never had to use it.
Wow.
Yeah, I went into camping mode.
It seems like it is just a bathroom. I mean, it's
It's no big deal. It's no big deal. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I've never done. I just haven't. I think something inside me is just like, stop everything. Kidneys, shut down.
You know, the big benefit, though, of being in that very back row is that there's nobody who can see you and Kim sneak into the bathroom for Mile High Club.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I was going to say something else. No, not even to pee, chat room. I've never peed in
That's
a plane.
That's crazy.
Nope, never done it. Maybe this guy hadn't either, and something happened. Anyway, a Delta Airlines passenger flying from Atlanta to Miami on November 1st was... That sounds like a song. Atlanta to Miami, doesn't it? A little bit? Anyway.
Yeah.
Was allegedly told he could either sit in a seat that was covered with feces or be left behind. Matthew Meehan of Michigan. Well, that's great. I miss Matthew Meehan from Michigan. This is my pet monkey, Michael. Said that after boarding the Delta flight, he quickly discovered not only a bad smell, but feces on the seat, floor, and wall of the plane. After sitting in the mess, he said the crew gave him two paper towels and a bottle of gin. A bottle of gin.
A bottle of gin.
Yeah, to wipe him out.
Alcohol disinfectant, or just to say, chug this and the feces won't matter so much.
I think it was to clean himself, but I like yours better. Yeah. The passenger told Yahoo Lifestyle that when he...
Towels and a bottle of gin.
lost lyrics. Those are lost lyrics. Let's see. Yahoo Lifestyle is who we talked to, which I didn't even know was a thing, but whatever. When he emerged from the bathroom expecting his seat to be disinfected, the flight was still boarding as normal. He said he was told, "That's not our responsibility. Someone from the gate needs to take care of that. We are all in the middle of active boarding. We're busy. If you want, you can get off the plane and talk to somebody." That's not cool, you a-holes.
Yeah, no kidding. Like,
not cool, man.
Seriously.
Yeah, that's bad. She said, "If the cleaning crew didn't do their job, that's not my problem." That sounds like an internal issue, and y'all need to work it out. So I said, can we get that cleaned up so I can sit down? And she says, sir, it's almost time for the plane to leave. You can sit in your seat, or you can be left behind. I don't like any of that.
No. So.
Not cool.
Man, do we know why there was feces on the seat and the wall? I mean, it seems like.
Could have been a kid or an old man, you know. Some old man is like, my colostomy bag leaking. I don't know. I fired this damn plane. Oh, like, it could have been that.
Yeah, maybe a small child or something.
Sure.
But, okay, this offends me greatly. My God.
Same.
I mean,
same, dude.
Also, I didn't realize flight attendants, that's what they did between flights. Like, you know, you get your gate agent who's kind of organizing everybody and saying, all right, if you have any carry-on bags, they're going to have to be stowed on the seat. But if you haven't paid for one, then come up and see me here at the desk, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I thought, while all that is going on and the Royal Fork or whatever they're called is putting the limited amount of food choices onto the plane, I thought the flight attendants were cleaning up the cabin.
No, in fact, the only reason I know that this is not the case, and it's funny you say that because I think I always assume the same thing.
Yeah.
But because we were in the last seat, it meant we were also last out of the plane.
Oh, sure. Right.
And as we got out, there's a whole different kind of crew in there with like orange jackets,
rubber
and
gloves and stuff. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Okay.
Whole different crew. And I'd never seen that before. So it's funny we get this article now because now I've witnessed it and it's one of those people that missed it.
Yeah. Well, I'd say missed it or, hey, Bob, take care of 14A, would you?
Yeah. Missed it or did it. One of the two.
Dang.
All right, well, here's a final story. This is a heartening one. Not really.
Okay.
A teenager was slashed with sporks in a vicious attack on a San Francisco Denny's.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sporks.
Yeah. You know the plastic spoons and the little tips on them, everybody?
Yeah, you used to get them with your enchirito at Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's where you used to get those. I feel like I don't get those anywhere anymore. That was like the last bastion of common spork use.
Taco Bell still has those. Tina gets, what is it? The Mexican pizza, and sometimes that comes with a spork.
Yeah. Yeah. I like a good spork. I'm not going to lie.
No, I kind of like the spork. I think it's an invention that probably we need metal ones. Like when you go register for silver at Macy's before your wedding, your silver set should come with a set of sporks.
I agree.
Forks, spoons, knives, and sporks.
Yeah. Spork should just replace the spoon and fork and just end up with a spork.
Oh, Dersham says you can get titanium sporks on ThinkGeek still.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Might have to do that. My favorite thing is the subheading here. Half as dangerous as a fork, twice as dangerous as a spoon.
Wow.
That's pretty great. Anyway, it says here, the invention of the spork is generally credited to a doctor named Samuel W. Franco. Francis. Who in 1874 patented the spoon fork knife combo.
You're really hoping he was like an ancient ancestor of James Franco, weren't you?
I did. I kind of did. I wonder if he took skeezy pictures of himself and talked to underage girls.
Probably.
Just wondering. I like him as an actor, but he's got some stuff. Anyway, this is in 1874. He patented the spoon knife fork combo. Numerous similar inventions have popped up since then. However, the current spoon fork design remains the most popular. According to NBC Bay Area on Thursday morning, an 18-year-old woman was hospitalized after receiving several injuries to the face by a group of women armed with sporks.
Jeez.
People said the women were dining at a 24-hour restaurant, that being Denny's, at the 800 block of Mission Street in San Francisco at approximately 3:50 a.m. Nothing good happens then. When she got involved in a fight with a group and at least four other women, they brandished sporks, fought, and she was lacerated by sporks.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's a good story, right? And heartfelt.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's funny. Again, we have the situation where when you describe the story, I assumed male assailants and a male victim, and it was exactly the opposite.
Sorry, ladies. We just aren't giving you enough credit. We got to remember that you also are
Brian.
Violent and hot-headed. Yeah.
Brian, sexist.
Sexist? Oh, that's sexist.
Assuming the spork assailants were male, sexist.
It's a pretty good David Brent.
That was my David. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was very good.
I'm watching The Office, and
oh, that's The Office you've been watching. I thought you were watching American.
No, I've been watching The American Office, but it's made me think a lot about the Ricky Gervais Office too.
Yeah, I watched the pilot of both for Current Geek last week, and that was a lot of fun to do because those both the scripts are the same, which I never knew that. I didn't know the pilot of the U.S.
For the
one
pilots,
was,
yeah, right, exactly. Because
it threw me.
Gareth and Dwight both get the stapler and Jell-O thing, right?
Yep, and both Pam and Don get pretend fired, and they get upset that they got pretend fired.
That's right. that's right. I forgot. Yeah. I didn't realize the script was the same. I mean, not identical, right? Because they have some.
The delivery's different because I think they improv the hell out of it on both sides.
Well, they have UK-isms and stuff like that too.
Yeah. I think they improv most of their dialogue on that on both those shows, but it was interesting.
Oh, TV Zegon, by the way, says that the airplane poop was from a service dog.
Oh.
But still.
Still. I still think that's a problem. I don't care who it's from. I mean, I'm glad
service
it's,
is that?
I'm glad it's not some old man with worms, but at the same time, it's a dog with worms, perhaps. Okay. Well, we're going to, you know what we're going to do.
It's a shitty comfort animal.
Yeah. It's not a good comfort animal at all. Nobody has comfort now, including probably the animal. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be time for Tom to swing in here and talk about tech as well as some time with Nicole Spag for recommendals. Before all of that, though, we have a fiduciary agreement with you, the listener, to play some music. Brian, would you please introduce today's song?
We do. Yes, we're going up to Vancouver, British Columbia, or BC, as it can be called, for a band called The Top Boost. They just performed this last weekend at Pat's Pub and Brew House with China Syndrome and the Tower of Dudes. It's a great great band name.
That's great.
You can check them out on Twitter, at The Top Boost. And this is going to make you want to listen more of them. This is the song, What If She Loves You? Here's The Top Boost.
All right, we'll see you on the other side.
You'll have to see how can I
Hey, you guys, we got to talk about Blue Chew. Let's talk about Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you were all ready to go? Remember that? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's like blue, the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so they know they work, or you know they work. They all know they work. We all know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they are chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right here in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships directly, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. That, again, is BlueChew, BlueChew.com. That's it. That's all. And then use the promo code to try it out for free. It's the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for helping us out today.
In every inch of Lava's snowy lather, 50,000 tiny scrubbers remove the deep dirt from skin crevices between fingers around fingernails. With Lava, hands soiled by machine oil, grease, or grime come sparkling clean in 30 to 50 seconds. Mothers know Lava is wonderful for cleaning children's grimy knees, hands, elbows. And housewives everywhere are discovering the magic of Lava.
I don't know what you're up to, you little perv, but I like the journey you're on.
A great pair of nerd glasses in about an hour. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back, everybody. We're back. Lava. I like that song a lot. That was great.
Yeah, that's some massive power pop right there. Like, if you're looking for the very definition of power pop, it's those jangly guitars. It's that that vocal style. It's all that stuff.
Yeah, it's real good. I am a fan.
Love it myself.
Turns out I'm a fan.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll tell you what else I'm a fan of, because shortly... we'll be all fans of what's going to happen next, like right this second.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is the one, the only, the uninterruptible, I can't think of a word, Tom Merritt, everybody, Tom Merritt.
Uninterruptible?
I don't know. I don't know where that came from. That makes no sense, does it? You're uninterruptible.
I'm going to test that theory today.
Okay.
Some point.
Yeah, I get that theory tested on a daily basis, actually, and I'm not.
I mean, everybody.
How about unflappable?
Unflappable.
Unflappable.
There
yeah.
you go.
I mean, I don't know if I'm 100% unflappable. I try not to flap very often, though.
Never actually understood that phrase.
I know that there's no game app called Flappy Tom, so no. That to me, you that you're unflappable.
Proof positive.
What does it mean? What does it mean to be flappable? No one's ever told me. I don't get it.
Means you can get flapped. No, I think it means like you get thrown off. You get disturbed.
Oh,
you get, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, I think you're pretty unflappable. I've known you long enough to say that. I've never seen you flap. You're fine.
Oh, I've flapped in my time. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, I've done some flapping. Well, all right.
I'm
hey.
Like a 1920s lady.
You're a flapper, they say.
Total flapper.
See? Tom Merritt is here, as always, on Wednesdays. This is Wednesday, everybody. And we talk about technology. Now, we didn't do it last week because we were in BlizzCon, or Brian and I were, so we couldn't
do
this.
I'm so sorry I wasn't there this year. PatreCon, I had to pick between PatreCon and BlizzCon, and I picked BlizzCon last year, so I had to give PatreCon
the nod. Yeah, you got to swap it around, you know. Mm-hmm. I get it, and I'm glad somebody of our ilk was representing there, you know. That's good.
I was representing the ilk.
Yes. Well done.
Ice cream social just wasn't the same without you, Tom.
I'm really sad I missed it.
Yeah. Well, we'll always have.
I refused to eat ice cream all weekend long if I couldn't eat it with you, Brian.
You would have hated security. I wish you could have experienced the security situation so you could have hated it as much as we did, because it was bad.
The security? What do you mean?
It was so bad. They pumped, so this year they went from, like, you know how it was in the past? you all wad up to get in, and you go past a table, and they check your bag real quick, and you go in. That's security at BlizzCon.
And if you didn't have a bag, you just waltzed right by.
Exactly. This year, oh, no. It is. Oh, yeah. They made a giant maze of giant blue walls that went on forever. They had multiple checkpoints with multiple metal detectors and staff that would check everything, including your Blizzard goodie bags. The whole show started like 40 minutes late. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, they also, instead of having the outside food truck area be outside security, what they did is they walled the whole thing off and made it so all that was within security. So if you went into the con, went out for a bite at the food truck, went back in, you wouldn't have to go through security twice. Mm-hmm. But that caused a bunch of these other bottlenecks and delays. And
they were rude.
And if you just wanted to pop out and grab food, you had to go through security to get to it.
Yeah, you had to do anything. Like if I wanted to go to the hotel because I forgot a thing, it was an ordeal.
Trying to go to the hotel was a nightmare because you couldn't go through that non-secure area. So you had to go almost all the way to the street and then around. Mm-hmm.
And then back out.
Yeah, it was bad. I think it's just it's a response to, and a reasonable one, to, you know, the need for more security. There have been some high-profile, even gaming events that had some pretty bad security breaches. But, like, Bill Durham watched a guy bribe one of the guards for $20 to let him through without going through the detector and getting in early. So
what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's fired now. Bill hung around, took pictures, and, like, made sure somebody knew and all that, which, Bill did the right thing.
Yeah.
But I know Blizzard.
Tom, you missed a great BlizzCon.
I'm still sad I missed seeing you guys, but
It was a bummer, that part of it. And I think Blizzard's very unhappy with the three security people they hired. But we'll see what they do.
The problem was it was three security people. That was the whole problem.
Yeah, it was three guys and about 20 metal detectors. It was crazy. They also wouldn't let me take audio recording equipment in on my media pass, even though I had a phone in my pocket, which is also an audio recorder, and the guy in front of me, who was Garrett Weinzerpel, had a 4K camera, DSLR, and a bunch of recording equipment himself. He was fine to go through. They wouldn't let me through with my little handheld deal there. So,
but you had a media pass.
Yeah, it didn't matter to them. They were just like, the best part was did I tell you this yesterday, Brian? I think I did. I had a talent pass. I think I did talk about this. I had a pass that said talent on it, and I also had a media pass. When I went through the time with the talent pass on, because that's all I could use, I had to have that to get into the backstage thing.
Yeah.
I go through that line, and guy goes, talent boy, why don't you do a dance for me or sing a song? And I thought he was, and I thought he was kidding. I turned to look at him expecting a big smile and a kind of a just kidding face. No. He was just like looking at me like I'm some kind of scrub. So it just sucked. They were bad. They were bad at this. Bad at their jobs. Anyway, doesn't matter. We're talking about technology. Tom Merritt, hey, it's Wednesday. Things happen in the world of tech, and I'm sure today's no different. What's going on out there? What should we know about?
Well, maybe BlizzCon can borrow this story. The Associated Press reporting that a company called Waitrix is running a test of gait recognition to identify people based on their body shape and how they walk in Beijing and Shanghai.
They claim that
even if you like hunch down or try to do a Monty Python silly walk, that they can still recognize you. They've got enough machine learning behind it, enough points of recognition that it's not easy to fool it by just walking different. And if you're hiding your face, they can still identify you because it goes on a whole body system.
See, uninterruptible Tom Merritt, by the way. It feels like that thing in Jason Bourne where Matt Damon started walking differently so that the cameras wouldn't identify him when they were looking for him.
Yeah, that was the old stuff in Jason Bourne. The new Waitrix stuff in the new Bourne is not going to be able to use that. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I liked the first Waitrix, but the two sequels were terrible. Terrible.
Waitrix Revolution.
Waitrix Reloaded.
Yeah. Waitrix Reloaded.
Waitrix Rewalked.
Yeah, Rewalked. Yeah.
So let me get this straight, though. They have to have the data. How are they getting the data of everybody's walk and assigning it to them? Like, that's the part that throws me a little bit.
Well, that's just like any police action, right? They're not going to be able to identify every single person on the street. But if you're looking for a particular person, then you would have made them go through some recording, I suppose, to be able to create a profile for them.
Okay, that makes sense. There was another movie that did this.
Like taking a mugshot of you or something like that.
And they
the Punisher on Netflix did that too. The guy, the secret guy with all the computers in the sewers was tracking down Frank Castle using that walking that gate.
That's right.
Well, gate recognition isn't new. In fact, police in Osaka have been piloting it since 2013. So it's not like this company is brand new. It's just they think theirs is better and more robust, and they're adding it to, you know, China has the most surveillance cameras of any country on the earth, I think. So there's a lot of interest in being able to catch criminals there by using facial recognition. They've talked a lot about that, but also now with checking out how they walk.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Actually, I do think it might have hurried things up at BlizzCon because it really was bad. And I
mean, that would be cool, right? If you were like, all you got to do is walk around in front of your camera, send us the profile, and then when you come to the con, you just walk up, and we'll be like, oh, Scott Johnson, yeah, you're on the list. Come on in.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That'd be kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, I don't, that doesn't,
I mean, like any of these security technologies, they can be used for ill, too. Right. I can hear the thoughts worrying out there of like, this is going to be used by the government to shut me down. And yes, absolutely. Like anything, you should make sure that it's used for good, not ill, and stand firm against that.
Sure. Right. I like the idea that, I mean, imagine 9/11 if the attackers were, if we knew how they walked and we knew that they were part of a cell. I mean, this is a bad example, but let's just say we did. That would have been very helpful. The machine would have gone, beep, 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 flagged him and said, this particular guy is on the list of FBI's most wanted, whatever, so pull him over. But you're right. There's this thin line of, that sure as hell better work, because if you pull Phil Anderson from freaking New Jersey on his right. business trip over and think that he's, you know, the next shoe bomber, you've screwed up. So,
and if they spy on me and figure out my walking profile without my knowledge and then use it to track my movements without my approval and I haven't done anything wrong, that's not okay.
Yeah, and what if they filmed you? What if they captured and recorded your walking data on the one day you had like too many prunes and you got the trots and you're just walking funny? So now they think, that guy, he's a funny walker, and they put your info
in
there.
Well, no, I mean, and I mentioned this before, that they have enough data points that's not going to throw it off.
Okay.
Like there are certain, it's like your fingerprint. Mm. There are certain parts about the way you walk that they claim that they have identified, that even if you had prunes or, you know, are trying to hunch over, that it's not going to throw it off.
Okay.
They say.
All right. Wow. It's prune safe. Prune free.
Ninja Steve brings up a good one. If you lose a leg, that might throw you off your gait enough.
Probably. Yeah. Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to wish that on anybody, but...
No, of course not. But
yeah.
But maybe, that's the kind of extreme example that Waitrix is claiming you'd have to go.
There's probably one person out there in the world who has made sure that their entire life they have walked a little goofy on purpose. And it's now coming to fruition for them. It's finally paying off.
Well, no, but again, I can't stress this enough. Walking goofy isn't enough to change this. Like, there is a certain element of the way you walk that you just can't change, is what they're claiming.
No matter what I do. So if I'm going...
Yeah, because it's not the movement of your limbs. It's the way you're... I'm guessing now, by the way. I'm guessing it's just the way your joints are connected and how they swing, that even if you like walk all crazy, it's still... There's something in the way those joints move that you'd have to change your joints. You'd have to have different arms for it or different legs for it to... it.
Okay, chat room has a good point though. What if you just faked that you were in a wheelchair your whole life, meaning you know, faked a condition that meant you had to be in one?
That's a long con.
That really is, exactly.
It's the longest con. Really, I don't know why.
Just so you can
once.
I don't know why I like these ridiculous
scenarios. What if you steal someone else's legs and implant them on you with their joints?
What if you have prosthetic legs like all around your waist, so that it looks like you have six legs and you work around.
Oh my gosh, what if is right?
We can't catch Spider-Man. He's got eight legs.
Exactly, yes.
What if Spider-Man actually had eight legs? Like what? How is he Spider-Man if he doesn't have eight legs?
I don't know. Yeah. He's got a little tingly sense. He made some squirters and he's not really holding
up for me. I don't
know.
If you pull a couple legs off a spider, does that all of a sudden make it not a spider?
Oh, interesting question.
Man.
So now
I got to start this philosophy podcast with you.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. It'd be really good.
As soon as we're done doing the music myths podcast based on our Twitter discussion last week.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Go read Twitter, folks.
Through history.
Read Twitter. If you're Scooby-Doo and Shaggy with a coat on and a hat, that's a whole different scenario. All right.
Three babies in a trench coat.
you can expect that sort of talk and more later today on the Daily Tech News Show. Maybe not in this
probably
vein.
Less.
Yeah, probably less, actually. That's true. But it's a chance for you guys to check out Tom and Sarah and Roger and myself today. It's Wednesday. I'm happy to be back on the show today talking tech. Anything else you want to mention before we go?
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited. The audiobook of my novel Gallium is out as read by Veronica Belmont. You can find it at tomsnewbook.com. It'll take you right to the Amazon page with it or tomerabooks.com. But it is right there in the Audible store. So if you sign up, you can get it for free because Audible always has some promotion where they give it out for free. Or if you've got an Audible subscription, it's one credit. That's all it costs. So check it out. Tomsnewbook.com, audiobook of the novel Gallium.
Well, here's a clip.
Ooh, hipsters.
There it is.
No, that is not.
That's not a real clip. Yeah,
I don't want people to be disappointed when they listen all the way through and they're like, I never heard her say ooh, hipsters once.
Good point. How about this?
It's fraud.
No, it's this. No, that's not. That's not it.
Veronica Ann Belmont is a new media personality, the destroyer of worlds.
I forgot
what
I made
that.
This is a thing I made a long time ago. I totally forgot I made it.
Wow,
that's weird. We used to call her the Destroyer of Worlds.
And I expect to enjoy a long life.
There you go.
And for that, I need your help.
There you go.
See? It's not bad.
What about the chapter all about sausage?
That's also not in this book.
Oh, no. That's too bad. Well,
again, I want people to not be disappointed. There are no robot arms.
No, there are always robot arms, but not here. Tom Merritt, everybody. Ace Detect on Twitter. Find him at TomMerrittBooks.com, over at TheDailyTechNewsShow.com, and wherever you get your tech news. Tom Merritt, have a fantastic day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
I can't hang up on him. Therefore, I won't. He'll hang up on me. Mm-hmm. Well, Brian.
And then we'll call him back when we call somebody else.
Yeah. Speaking of which, should we call Nicole? Yeah.
Let's call Nicole.
Not heard from her, so I assume... we're good.
Talked to her in weeks.
Yeah, it's been a bit. I talked to her a little bit yesterday about that guy that was being a jerk on Twitter. And she had some thoughts on that, but that was the last time. So we're going to spend some time with her, and we're going to do it with this little intro. If I could find it. Here we go. Hey, look, everybody, it's Nicole Spag all the way from Colorado, her own self. Hello, Nicole.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello.
How are things? How's life?
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
I made Rice Krispie treats this morning for the teachers.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel bad because that stupid amendment didn't pass in our state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're like Kim. You're just like Kim. She does this all the time. It's like something... she'll just get a wild hair and go, you know what I need to do? I need to make 1,000 cookies and take them over to the school. She'll do that all the time.
Is it official, though? Because I thought they were still counting votes this morning.
It didn't pass. It was supposed to pass by, I think, a 55% majority, and it didn't pass.
Wait, which thing was it? What was the point of it? What was the
there
thing?
There was to inject more money into the school system.
Yeah, higher salaries for teachers. And
there were a couple of other measures, and I think one of them did pass. But the main one, I think it was Amendment 73, which would have given raises and more money into the school system, actually. I mean, here's the thing. I'm using my fundraising background for my son's school. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous that these schools have to become fundraising experts.
Yeah.
For public. It's kind of mind-blowing.
It's stupid.
I mean, I'm doing it, yeah. But...
here's the problem. There's a big portion of society that wants to keep people real stupid. And one way to do that is to have bad education. And one way to do that is pay teachers less. And another way that has an effect is people don't want to be teachers. So it kind of has this effect of everybody getting raised stupid. And some people want that. And that sucks. So F those dirt bags is what I say.
So I'm using my fundraising skills to raise money for school, which... it's awesome because what ends up happening is that all the money that we raise, we actually create grants for the teachers. And the teachers say, you know, I really want to do this, have these books in the class, where you say, okay, here you go. Here's the money. Go buy the books.
Yeah.
But it's our PTA that's, you know, raising these funds. So I'm going to do like an online auction and things like that. But it's weird.
It's lame.
That I'm having to do this for a public school.
I agree. We should value education in this country, and we never really have as much now. We really just are. Well, they need more dumb people, honestly. So this is one way to do it. Hey,
I'm not going down without a fight.
Oh, of course not. And look, parents can make all the difference anyway. And not only that, but they can make a huge dent in their communities, and that's what you're doing, and that's important. That's actually the best thing we could all be doing. So well done. So let's dive into recommendals today. It's a chance for us to talk about stuff we've been watching on streaming services during the week. Now, because Brian and I were gone, I had very little time to watch anything, but I do have a recommendation today. Mine doesn't include a clip, sadly, but Brian's does, and we start with him. Brian, do you have any setup for this clip today?
If you listened to shows earlier this week, today's recommendal for me won't be a surprise.
Oh. All right, here's a little hint for you, folks. Here we go. Let's check it out.
Chubby's Chili Dog Depot. Buy three, get two free, no expiration date.
All right.
Score.
Tucker, look. They got my favorite board game here, too.
What? I'll tell you something, Dale. I cannot believe that I'm standing in my own vacation home right now. You know something? Dreams really do come true.
Oh, look out!
Oh! Well, I guess we should fix that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yeah. That's exactly right, yes.
Great movie. Yeah.
It really is. I'd never seen it before. It came out in 2010. And after...
Recommending this movie?
You recommended this?
Like years ago when I lived in Arizona.
Yeah.
Yikes! I should have heeded your recommendal on that one. It didn't come back up for me until we watched Cabin Fever a couple of weeks ago for FilmSack, and I said, "God, you know they should make a slasher film where you see it from the slasher's point of view, and it's like all accidental murders of all the teenagers." Mm-hmm. And then a bunch of people said, "Well, maybe you should check out Tucker and Dale versus Evil." That's Twitter voice, by the way. That's every tweet gets read in that voice in my internal head.
It's pretty good.
My eternal head. Anyway.
My internal head.
As opposed to my external head.
Right.
Anyway, finally saw it, and it's exactly what I described, and it's hilarious. It's Alan Tudyk and Tyler Labine, Katrina Bowden, a bunch of people you've never heard of, but Alan Tudyk you've heard of, especially if you are familiar with Serenity and Firefly and all that stuff.
Sure.
All the millions of other things that Alan Tudyk has done.
The other guy, what's the other guy's name?
Tyler Labine.
Yeah, he is in, he was in that great show that was very brief. What was it called?
Reaper.
Reaper with the devil thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah,
love that.
Forgot about that.
That was great.
Yeah, it was also main appearance this last year in Super Troopers 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Monsters University did a voice.
He's been around.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes, he was Robert Franklin. I don't know.
He was in Zach
and Mary Make a Porno as drunk customer.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Anyway, he should be on more because he's hilarious. He's got some great comic timing and terrific performance. Anyway.
Yeah.
No.
What?
What's Netflix? That? Is it streaming
on Netflix? It's streaming on Netflix. Yep.
Yep.
And I actually downloaded to try and watch on the plane, but I was too sick. I just dozed off on the flight home. So I watched it last night, all hopped up on pain or on cold meds, and still think I would have enjoyed it had I not.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You got the con crud. I'm sure you already talked about it, but I'm just noticing your voice sounds weird.
Yeah, he got the sweet.
Oh yeah, I got con crud. I think I don't know if it was con crud or post con crud because felt fine all the way up until halfway through the day after the con. So it might have just gestated in my system for a day and a half, but
yeah. Finger. Ooh.
Who knows? What are we hearing?
That was the Tucker and Dale preview that Netflix is doing. I pull up the movies as you guys are talking.
Yeah.
You do the tweet that I push out.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you go to Recommendals on Twitter, every week of Recommendals are listed right there.
I love that you do that. That's so awesome.
Very cool.
I pull it up and Netflix is starting to play like trailers just on like the info page.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, and they're not even trailers. Sometimes it's just stock music playing. Like,
yes,
it's fine that they do that. I just wish there was a way to just mute the whole damn thing.
Yeah, there should be. You know, I mean, they give you the option to turn off autoplay,
mm-hmm,
or autoplay next or whatever it is, then they should give you the option to turn off
Yeah. I mean, on a browser, you can just mute your tab, and that's fine. But the, you know, I don't know. It's just annoying. I kind of, and there's cases where I appreciate it, where I'm browsing on a TV and I'm like, oh yeah, this is interesting. I'm watching a trailer. But then when I'm doing stuff on a computer, or like now when we're just trying to preview stuff, I don't need autoplay. That sucks.
Yeah. Do you ever watch, you ever go into a show on Netflix and you're thinking about hitting play and then they make the decision for you and you're like, well, I'll just let it play.
Oh no, I've never had
that
autoplay.
That hasn't happened to me.
That's happened to me a few times.
Really?
Oh, like, God. Netflix knows how indecisive I am when trying to select something, that it just says, we're just going to play it for you.
Yeah, just watch a little bit of it, and if you don't like it, pick something else. But I think you're going to like this. Here, watch some. Watch
yeah,
some.
Watch this. You'll be okay. Just let it let it wash over you. Don't push any buttons. Sit back. Yeah, I'm sure that happens a little bit. All right, fine recommendation. Tucker and Dale versus Evil, and it's great. I've seen it as well. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it does really fit that thing you were asking for. Like what?
It totally. It's exactly what I was. Yeah, what I was looking for. So
yeah, it's just a funny idea. Yeah, and it's not just that one gimmick. Like it is a gimmick, but they play it out real well. Like
they really do. And it has some turns that you don't see coming. Yeah. Or at least I didn't. And again, I was on cold meds.
Yeah. So who knows? Brian could be stoned right now, for all we know. All right. I wasn't able to do a clip because just too much going on, but I am going to make a recommendation that is actually already a recommendation for me, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway because the dream came true. You may remember for maybe even years, but definitely months, I have been saying, man, what's going on over there with the King of the Hill license? How come nobody's streaming that content? And sure enough, it seems like whenever we bring something like this up on the show, like 2 weeks later, suddenly it's a thing. And that is now true. You can watch all of King of the Hill, all 13 seasons, in their entirety on Hulu, if you have Hulu. So I just wanted to throw that out there because it's honestly the only thing I've had any time for any extra watching time since I've been back. And, oh, gosh, there's a little more there. That's good. It's great. It's I love King of the Hill. It's like comfort food for me. I don't even know why I like it as much as I did then and now, and it's great. And Hulu has it all, so go check it out. That's over at Hulu.com. Cool.
Smart devices are listening to you.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's right.
Nicole, tell us all about your recommendation today.
Well, I have two, so I'm going to give you two clips, and I'm not going to play them because they never seem to work now that we're going through Discord.
You say, man, I've been hearing everything you've been playing on your computer. You sure?
So this is one I was going to recommend a few weeks ago, and then we didn't do recommendals a few times. So
okay. This
is makeup.
All right, I'm going to push this. Here we go. I'm not looking. I don't know what it is.
On the top of a dark and distant mountain, there is a beautiful and talented woman who uses her unique skills to create hauntingly disturbing confections. She finds beauty in the art of darkness with each creation and shares them with us. The unusual creatures she has taken into her home.
I can't remember the last time we had a normal meal around here.
All right, tell me. I'm dying to know what this is. This sounds great.
Well, this was awesome around Halloween. This is a Netflix original, The Curious Creations of Christine McConnell. And it's like... Night Before Christmas meets Muppets meets a food show.
Okay.
It is so wonderful, weird, and just weird. I love it. And as I'm watching it, this is an example of one that Netflix, I went on the page and it said, we're just going to start this for you because you need to watch it.
Now is this,
and I got sucked into it.
Is this fictional or nonfiction? Like, is this almost like a documentary about this woman, or is this
there's a lot of like the fourth wall is broken in this. Because Christine, I was looking at her Instagram. She's insanely talented. She makes so many cool, like one of the things she does is she makes a candy bone out of chocolate. And I'm like, is this a food show? I'm like, I'm watching this. Mm-hmm. And then there's puppets that are talking. And then so she's like explaining how, and the puppets are like, who the hell is she talking to?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's so weird and different, and I absolutely adored it. And there's a lot of, like I said, it's a cooking show, because she shows you how to make a cake and how to decorate the cake. And then she does this thing with chocolate chip cookies to put eyeballs in them, and like all these fun little creative things. And she even shows you how to sew a dress. So
she's ridiculously popular on Instagram, by the way. Huge following.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I mean, these are really cool. I'm looking at the trailer right now and seeing all the things that she makes. It's weird. It's like a Rachel Ray.
Yes.
With Muppets.
Yeah.
Weird.
But it's all like creepy.
Horror Rachel Ray with Muppets.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, I'm in. But
I loved it. I adored it. Someone in the chat room, like a Muppet cooking show, kind of. Yeah.
Is it weird to watch it post Halloween, or do you think it's better if it's during Halloween?
I mean, it was fun for me before Halloween, but it's still such a great fun show that I think it's fine either way.
All right.
It's The Haunting of Toll House.
Oh my Lord, Brian. I think we've broken some kind of FCC rule just now with that joke.
Our time is limited. I will say this, as you're watching her do like this intricate stuff, I'm like, ain't nobody got time for that. I mean, it's crazy. Kidding.
Yeah. Nobody got time for that.
She does every like airbrushing, and I mean, she's meticulous. It's really, and her fingers, I'm fascinated by her fingers, because she has very long, bony fingers, and they're beautiful. And it's just, she it used was to be, awesome.
So I was doing a little reading there. She used to be a model. She is now and her start really is, like, I don't know if YouTube's involved or not, but she her Instagram stuff is like her, where all this got started. And she would show off her creations on Instagram, and that just blew up for her. And now she gets a show on Netflix. That's awesome. You're seeing that happen a lot more these days. Which is really cool.
Now Scott won't watch it because she's very pretty.
Yeah. Well, she's naturally, she is naturally pretty.
Yes.
Yeah. There's nothing here that this isn't WB pretty.
Who's the other, Kate Von Dries? No, not that one.
I have no idea.
Oh, Kat Von, yes.
The tattooist.
Not the tattooist. Other model. She's very, she has the red lips and, oh God. And she's in this.
She looks like Betty. She looks like Betty Page kind of thing. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And if I just go,
isn't
that
the woman who was married to Marilyn Manson for a while, or am I thinking of somebody else?
Yes.
On the top of the dock.
Stupid. Stop it.
Dita Von Teese. That's it. Dita Von Teese.
Dita Von Teese. Oh yeah. Here you go.
Yeah. She's in this.
Okay. Oh, she was married to Marilyn Manson. Mm-hmm. Ew, she had to look at that dude with his makeup off and stuff and everything. He's a potato. He is such a potato with no makeup on. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Look, I'm no judge of handsome men, but I will just say, freaking potato is that guy.
Oh yeah, married for 2 years, 2005 to 2007.
Yeah, it's 2007 that he took his makeup off and he went, ew. Potato.
That's right.
Yeah, potato. Well, that's interesting. Okay, cool. Well, I'm all in on this. This sounds like fun. I'd watch this.
A lot of fun. Right. And the puppets are funny and they're creepy. And there's like a big werewolf kind of guy. And then there's like a Egyptian mummy cat. And then I think she's a raccoon. She's kind of annoying, but yeah, she brings some. It's funny. Mm. So it's like, you can't say one category for this show. That's why it's so hard to say, well, it's kind of a cooking show. It's kind of a Muppet comedy. It's kind of a lot of things.
I'm kind of into the Muppet thing. I like when Muppets are used for this stuff. Yesterday, Bill showed us a maker who uses a puppet as the main, as the guy who's making everything.
Right.
Something about that is awesome. I wish there were more like live streams, like more Twitch streams that were all run by puppets. There's something about that for me that I like. All right. You said you had two, right? You got two?
Here's the other one.
Okay.
It's on Amazon Prime. So there's the clip.
All right. I'm hitting play. Here we go, folks.
Hey, what do you think is the all-time best way to sit ever?
It's easy. Cross-legged, left over right.
Okay.
See, it's comfortable. It's fun. Put your coffee right here on your knee.
Ah, but don't you think you're being a little sexist? I mean, That'd be fine if I were wearing jeans, but what if I decided to put on a pencil skirt? You'd be getting a real show right now.
I recognize the voices. I think that's, what's her name? Hold on.
It's Armisen, isn't it? Isn't it Fred Armisen?
Yep, that was Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph.
Maya Rudolph, that's who it is.
This is a show, an Amazon Prime show called Forever.
Forever. So this is not Portlandia.
No,
this is not Portlandia. Okay. This is a continuous show of the same theme. I think it has around 8 or 9 episodes, and I devoured it, even though it is at times a little slow, and you're like, what is going on here? So Maya and Fred are married, and the whole premise of Forever is they die.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about the afterlife and what happens, and just the stories were quirky because they are quirky.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it. And it was a pleasant surprise, and it was funny and weird. And yeah, another funny, weird one.
I like both those guys a lot. So it seems like something I could totally get into.
Someone in the chat room said, it's kind of boring. It is at times, but I don't know. The story moved forward for me.
And Nicole, that's just Bob Peterson.
Yeah. Bob doesn't. Bob thinks everything's boring. I hate to say it. But also, and too sad or something. He always thinks things are too sad.
Right, exactly.
But what I was just going to say about her, Maya Rudolph. Oh, her voice work in that that very dirty Big Mouth show that's on Netflix also is so good. Yeah. She's so good as the monstrous hormone lady.
And she's been really good on The Good Place lately too.
Yeah, Maya she's Rudolph. Just great. I think she's awesome.
I finally got into The Good Place. Well, that's not what I mean. But
what do you think of it? Because I think it's adorable. I love that show.
So I only watch bits and parts of season 1 and 2, basically to get the gist of what was going on. And then I picked it up on season 3, and I love season 3.
Mm. Oh, no. There's so much great stuff in seasons 1 and 2 that kind of set up season 3. You got to.
I know what they do to set it up. Like I did watch some of the episodes, but it just never really grabbed me. but for whatever reason, I adore season 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I want
to.
However you get it, I'm glad that you got it.
Yeah. Get it how you can get it.
Got into The Good Place.
That's good.
Got into The Good Place.
That's awesome. It's a great show. I love that thing even exists. For the kind of show it is.
The Good Place is on NBC, but you can watch it streaming on Hulu if you have Hulu. Yeah. And Forever is on Amazon Prime.
Oh, well, good. I have all those things. Everything you've mentioned, I have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, excellent. Follow Nicole on Twitter at Nicole Spag, and she will give you links to these. And where did you say all the stuff is again?
So I posted on Nicole Spag, but then I retweeted over on Recommendals. Mm-hmm. And so it's a nice condensed list of everything all the three of us have ever recommended in a nice long list.
Compact place.
Easy to
singular
follow.
Place. Maybe not compact, but singular place.
Singular place. It's called The Singular Place on NBC. Nicole Spag, have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you soon. And we missed you. Goodbye.
See ya.
All right. Well, that's a good time right there.
It was.
I really enjoyed it. Now we get to leave. Boy, looking at Marilyn Manson without makeup on, I didn't know he was in a season of Sons of Anarchy. That's crazy. That's weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess probably playing a character because you couldn't really say, with special guest star playing himself.
Yeah. No, it's totally not his makeup-y deal. It's just him without makeup and short hair even, and just looks like a normal average dude. It looks like he's in prison or something. Anyway, he's a weird guy. But hats off to him. He figured out a way to, you know, become a thing that made him a lot of money. All right, we are done. Before we go, though, let's just remind the fine folks at home that if you enjoy the morning stream, and I think that many of you do, or you wouldn't be listening, now's your chance. Now's your chance to show your love. Head on over to patreon.com/TMS and throw a little scratch our way. We're trying to reach some new goals, do some new things, and it is on you to help us. So please help us out. patreon.com/TMS. DMS. You can find links to that and everything else over at frogpants.com/DMS. And for those in the chat who are with us today, don't forget to vote on today's show titles, frogpants.showbot.tv. All right, Brian, who is Coverville on Twitter, and I'm at Scott Johnson, and the show's at Morning Stream. Why don't you play me a song at the end of the show here?
Well, I'll read you a request. I wasn't able to get a song today because of technical issues, so you've got the song.
I do.
But this is the request that's going to go with it. Melissa wrote in and said, "Hey, Soul and Blues, first off, thanks for all the amazingness that you and the show provide. Second, I'm celebrating my third wedding anniversary with my hubby on the 7th. Technically, our anniversary is October 24th, but we're going to go to a comedy show to celebrate on the 7th, November 7th. Couples that can laugh together, stay together." That's absolutely 100% true. If you can find a fun, loving song, that would be great. What you chose, Scott, is perfect for this request. You know, you might need a translator to listen to lyrics or to figure out the lyrics, and maybe you don't want to know what the lyrics are because they kind of have to do with the not getting a lot of satisfaction in certain places and times. But this is still a fun song. This is going out to you, Melissa, and your husband. Happy third wedding anniversary, and enjoy the comedy show.
Oh, I like that. That sounds fantastic. Here it is. Yeah. It's that Volgjahart song.
Sure.
By sure, by Sugar one, yeah. Free. The artist is Sugar Free. The album is Fantasy, and they are they got a little Z in there.
This is a cover of the song It's Not Fair by Lily Allen.
Yes, I think so. Right? So, right.
Yes.
I just like it because it's Dutch and it makes me feel good.
Well, your heart.
Yeah, all of that and more. So here it is. We're going to play it, and then we'll be back tomorrow with Wendy and all that fun stuff on Thursday. So be here then. We'll see you then.
Anders allemaal, maar ik heb in hem iets ontdekt dat spannend is en heel speciaal. Want elke keer ik hem zie en hij even naar me kijkt, verdwaal ik in mijn fantasie door zijn blik die mij bereikt. Ik zeg hem dan, ik wil graag bij je zijn. Je bent voor mij de ware, mijn liefdesmedicijn. Wonder.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Speak in a friendly, outgoing way.